It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Get outside. This is KSL Outdoors, brought to you by Bear River Lodge. 2 hours of stories and information on hunting, fishing, and high adventure. KSL Outdoors with Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back to hour number two and the final one for another week of the program. Just a reminder that coming up, and I'm looking forward to sharing you not just the information, but sharing personal experience with something I was really looking forward to for years, going down and actually getting to hike the Zion Narrows. I did it with Bob and Mark from Road Tripping with Bob and Mark. So coming up in this half hour, we will share with you some places to stay down there and some plans logistically that need to be made before you start thinking about heading down to Zion, particularly with the crowds that are expected. And then shortly after the news on the half hour, we will talk about what the experience itself of making our way up the hike, and boy, some mistakes we saw people making while we were there that hopefully will save you some pain and anguish when you take your family down to have the experience for yourself. But first, it's time to talk more fishing this morning. And yes, she's back. I always say it, guys, she's the only guest we have with her own theme song, but it's become something I think people look forward to. I know I do. Usually I get emails from Faith Jolly to tell us what's happening with the Division of Wildlife and what's happening around the state, but it's always a treat when she can join us live. So, got to have a little Faith this morning. How are you, Faith Jolly?
I'm doing great. I do love that theme music. It just makes me laugh every time.
Yeah. I don't mind playing the retro music, but I hate it when Navidomskus feels like he still has to dress like that, and I'm out in public.
Well, I'm dancing right now, Tim, in case you didn't know.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, and by the way, I saw Faith on TV, so now I know what she looks like.
Oh, no. Yeah. That's always a scary thing when somebody tells me, I listen to you guys every week, but this is the first time I've ever had a chance to see you.
Right.
Not always a good thing. But in face...
it is. She's lovely.
Yes. It's always good.
Oh, you're nice.
Hey, we were talking in the first hour. Obviously, we had fish bites just before news at the top, but we were also talking about the tough water situation, particularly down at Powell. But sadly, Faith, I think this is going to be something we're going to be dealing with statewide. And if it's bad now, heaven help us what it's going to look like come July and August.
I know. Drought is definitely top of mind for a lot of people. And it is something that's kind of keeping some of our biologists awake at night, worrying about kind of our water conditions and some of the habitat conditions across the state. Yeah, we're already seeing some of those impacts now.
So first and foremost, we want to talk about some of the areas or some of the water bodies that the division has increased limits on. And obviously, you'd rather see these fish harvested than just die out there.
Yep, exactly. So kind of in anticipation of some of those low water levels from the drought this summer, we just yesterday announced we're increasing fishing limits, the daily limits, at 10 of our water bodies in Utah. The majority of those, as you can imagine, are in southern Utah. They're just really struggling with having enough water down there right now. So, yeah, exactly like you said, we're increasing some of these limits just to allow anglers to be able to utilize these fish, you know, keep them, eat them, whatever, just in the event that there is more die-off this year due to low water, high water temperatures. We want people to be able to enjoy them instead of them going to waste.
Yeah, let me just list a couple of them. Blacksmith Fork River, the Forsyth Reservoir. In the case of the Blacksmith Fork River, the limit will go to 8 trout from the Nibley diversion downstream to the confluence. At Forsyth Reservoir, the increase limit is to 8 there. And what was it, 4 before, I think?
Yep, in a lot of these instances, it's about doubled. Yep, yeah, exactly.
And at Yuba Reservoir, that means that the limit there will be 20 fish total from the following species: walleye, wiper, trout, tiger, muskie, northern pike. And Navi, as we started to talk about last week, it's more than just water disappearing. Obviously, that's devastating. But even when there is water, when it gets pretty warm and the waters are low, oxygen levels disappear.
That's the key, Tim. It's about the oxygen. In our northern lakes, we have some depth. Those fish are able to get down low where the water temperatures are cooler. But what you must do, if you're going to bring them to the surface, resuscitate them. Take a long time with them. Don't let them get away until they got enough air to get through the warm water back to the cold water. Some of them are going to make attempts to get down to the cold water, but the oxygen levels in their bodies are going to be so depleted that they might not make it. So definitely resuscitate those fish in hopes they can get through the warm water back to the cool water on the bottom.
Faith, I hate to just broad brush this and say, look, the limits are going to be doubled without listing some of these places, because I don't want people to get in trouble in an effort to actually save some of these fish or actually harvest some of these fish. So let me list a couple of the others. Kasharam Reservoir, Lower Enterprise Reservoir, Otter Creek, Tropic Reservoir, Upper Enterprise Reservoir in Washington County, Wide Hollow Reservoir, and then we already talked about Yuba and the Blacksmorth Fork. It's just going to be tough all around. There's not much any of us can do about it, really, except for being very conscious of conserving the water we're using at home.
Yeah, exactly. And kind of like, you know, has been mentioned, we've offered some of those tips, and we're trying to kind of give anglers a heads up on, you know, it is a tough water year. And so just do your part, do what you can when you're catching fish to, you know, make sure you're given the best chance of survival if you are doing catch and release. And then, yeah, like you said, in these 10 water bodies, feel free to up that daily catch limit. And you can check all of those on our website as well. This was kind of an emergency change to our guidebooks, so you can check the online guidebooks for some of those updated limits as well, because, you know, we definitely want people to still be able to get out there and enjoy these fish. And I will note, too, our biologists have stressed, you know, there obviously is a dire situation with water this year. But really, the drought impacts is going to be a pretty small number of these water bodies that are going to be impacted. A lot of the bigger reservoirs, some of the major fisheries, it should still be pretty good fishing this summer. So, you know, definitely feel like you can still get out there and recreate and enjoy the outdoors this summer fishing. But just be kind of aware in some of these areas, you know, definitely it is going to be a little bit tougher.
Navi, I was thinking one of the bigger impacts longer term might be to stream fishermen, because they're going to be hesitant to release that water downstream.
Yeah, I think that's exactly the reason. Let me tell you, on the upside, like Faith has said, there's still some good news. The rivers are lower and clearer right now. So like the Weber, the Provo, they're fishing amazingly well. And generally in May, they're blown out and muddy. And it just isn't the case, because they're keeping that water back. So fishing's frankly really good.
Yep. And we are telling people, like, if you want to get out and fish, like, now is the time, you know, before, you know, it gets a lot hotter, a lot lower, whatever. This is the perfect time to get out and fish right now. And we're just telling people, as you do go out later in the summer, just make sure you're checking ahead to the, you know, if you are going to try and use a boat, especially, check ahead, make sure the ramps are still open, those types of things. We just want people to kind of take into those considerations this year.
All right. The other reason people should go to the website, and we've only got about 90 seconds here, so we won't try and list it all and further confuse people, but you want to go to wildlife.utah.gov, is because Free Fishing Day is coming up right around the corner. It's a little bit later than it has been in the past, isn't it? I thought it was always the first week, but it's going to be coming up Saturday, June 12th.
Yep, this year it's a little bit later, and this is a good resource, too. Like you said, check the website, because, you know, while some of our water bodies are going to be impacted by drought, we list 25 different water bodies that our biologists think will be great fishing still this summer, and so you can check those out as a good spot to take someone fishing on Free Fishing Day this year.
And the thing I want to mention, Navidauskas, is don't forget about our community fisheries when it comes to Free Fishing Day.
Absolutely. Those are the most underrated fisheries. They're such a wonderful experience to get those kids and your families just down the street. You know, hey, Mom, we're going fishing. We'll be back for lunch. That's awesome.
Yeah. And the other thing, we always remind you on Free Fishing Day, yes, you don't need a license to do it, but absolutely, you still need to follow all of the fishing regulations that are out there. So know those bodies of water before you head out there. Hopefully we've covered everything, Faith, have we?
Yep, I think we've touched on it. Yep, you, like I said, you can visit our website for more of those specific water bodies.
How's that baby?
Doing pretty good. Not sleeping a lot, but doing pretty good.
Well, if the baby's not sleeping, mom and dad aren't either. That's not such a good
thing.
Right. All right, thanks for joining us, and thanks for all you do.
Thanks so much, you guys.
All right, we're going to break. When we come back, we're headed down south to Zion, and we'll tell you, if you're planning a trip to that great national park, some logistical ideas on how to make it go a little bit smoother for you and your family. Don't go away. More of KSL Outdoors Radio coming right up.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
It is, what is this, day two, day three? I don't know. I get lost when I'm road tripping with you guys.
I think it's day two, three.
It only feels like day three. I woke up with every part of my body hurting this morning, and we'll explain why in another segment coming up. I am road tripping with Bob and Mark. It is Bob Grove, Mark Wade, as our audience has come to know, of course. I thought in this segment, though, guys, we'd talk about places to stay and what people should be thinking if they're coming down from the Wasatch Front to enjoy Zion. And my guess is most people want to stay right near the gate. And so Springdale is their first go-to. But reservations there, I'm just going to guess, are tough, because we were talking yesterday, Bob, and it's crazy how busy this place is. It was a Saturday, but summer hasn't started. Kids are still in school. And you were even surprised, I think, at the crowds.
Yeah, these. I know Mark and I both have talked about this, that we haven't seen crowds like this in many, many years that we've been traveling, and especially to Zion. And it started toward the end of last summer and just hasn't let up. Is we've just seen this continual wave of traffic and visitors coming into the state. And I think it's probably, you know, Mark, I know, has mentioned this before, that, you know, there really aren't too many better options for travel right now. I mean, things are starting to slowly open up, but still, the national parks are one of the best options for visiting until the other traditional vacation destinations open again.
And Mark, there's still a lot of people that probably don't want to get on a plane or can't get on a plane through the pandemic era. And getting outdoors is one of the few places we could get to still socially distance, but get away.
And it's interesting, too, to note that when we were talking to people in the park, they're coming from Michigan, from the East Coast, and driving their vehicles all the way to the West so that they can come and have that experience without getting on a plane.
Yeah. Most of the license plates I think we saw in the parking lot were California. That's why we call this L.A. Virkin, where
that's
we're
right.
sitting this morning.
Surprise, surprise. And we do license plate checks all the time, and California's the winner.
Yeah, yeah. if you can't stay or can't get the reservations you want in Springdale, just 21 miles, about 30-minute drive away from the gate of Zion National Park, is Le Virkin, and we're probably a stone's throw from Bob's house, right?
Yeah, I had to go home last night to let the dog out.
Let's talk about this view we have this morning as we sit here. We're overlooking the Virgin River, and you can explain this area to us, but we're in a spot called a place called the Dwellings, which I don't know how many units there are here. I counted 10 from the parking lot that are individual, really modern, luxury rental homes, basically, that have everything you need. And it's, as I mentioned, 21 miles from the park.
Yeah, that's right. Right by the historic Hurricane Le Virkin Bridge that goes over the Virgin River. We're right on the north end of it just immediately. This was traditionally what had been known as the trailhead for the Confluence Park, where you'd start, you'd park here and start your hike down into Confluence Park. And we watched these units being built, and we're very curious what was going on. And then they started evolving, coming to show us what they were going to be. They're really cool. I mean, every room has a view, yeah, looking out towards Pine Valley Mountains, the Red Cliffs National Conservation Area, and Confluence Park below.
Yeah, and the sun is just coming up this morning, and so it's going to hit that canyon, that gorge right behind us with the Virgin River down below, which will be beautiful. But each of these, as you mentioned, Bob, were designed and positioned so that you'd have a great view. And if you go out through the sliding door, there's a covered porch for each one with a couple of chairs to sit on. They actually put a little raised countertop right on the back fence with a couple of bar stools so that if you wanted to, you could take your breakfast or your dinner and just sit out there and enjoy the sunrise or the sunset. And in between, there's artificial turf that really makes for a beautiful setting.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, just as picture perfect, you know, you're getting a million-dollar view right here in the middle of L.A.,
yeah, Birkin. L.A., Birkin. Yeah. I don't want to confuse people. If they listen to this program for any period of time, we made a motorcycle ride, Colorado motorcycle trip last year, and we stayed at another place that you made us familiar with called Bluff Dwellings, which is in Bluff. This is just called the Dwellings, but it certainly is an option if you bring your family down. And what other kind of places? Laverkin's here. Hurricane is here. St. George is 20 miles, I think, up the road from where we sit right now, right?
Yeah, yeah, we're about, the Hurricane Valley is about halfway between Zion and St. George, so you're right in the middle of things. We call it the center of Greater Zion, near all the adventure mountain bike trails are just a hop, skip, and a jumping away. In fact, there's some right here in the valley. We're right near Quail Creek State Park, Sand Hollow State Park, not far from Kolob Canyons, also up the freeway. And I mean, just close to so much to do, see, short drive away. Yeah. You can just park here and go in any direction.
Yeah, it really is a great spot. I don't know, how far from Mark's house are we?
Oh, 25 minutes.
South of here?
Yeah, I'm in St. George.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's what I thought. All right, but we just wanted to familiarize everybody with this idea. There are some beautiful RV and campgrounds between here and there on, I guess that's Highway 9, as you climb up out of Laverkin towards Zion. And if you have an RV, again, my guess is you have to get your reservations well in advance, but there's some beautiful spots along the river that way.
Yeah, just as you climb up above, you go through the town of Virgin, and there's some RV parks there all the way into, you know, going through Rockville and into Springdale. But near Virgin, there's some great places to take your RV.
Yeah, so if you're making your plans to come down to Zion National Park, think about stopping by the Dwellings or any of the beautiful spots here in Laverkin or surrounding area. The Hurricane Valley, what a beautiful way to start the morning. We'll take another break. When we come back on KSL Outdoors Radio, we'll tell you about our adventure inside the park and why we're all just a little bit sore today. I think it might be, you know, hiking the trails of Bryce one day and then getting back on the horse the very next day to hike the Narrows at Zion. That conversation coming up next. Stay with us.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLpodcasts.com. Or wherever you get your podcasts.